From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whatever the case may be, wherever you are. In this wide, wide world, all the time zones covered by this program, Midnight in the Desert, I'm Arthel. It is a pleasure to be here with you at this time of day, whatever that is. It's going to be a unique show tonight, for sure. We have two rules for the show only, as you should know by now, no bad language, and only one call per show, Matthew. I want to welcome some new affiliates to the program tonight. Let us begin with the commercial one, KAWL, 1370 AM in York, Nebraska. All right, now the following are non-coms, but they do cover these areas pretty well. So welcome to KFTW 95.5 in Fort Worth, Texas. We're going to be talking about Texas. KIYQ 107.1 in Las Vegas, over the hill. WEFA 92.5 FM in Ocala, Florida. WZQR 100.7. And I'm going to have trouble with this. In Boquilla, Florida. I believe that's correct. Boquilla, Florida. WQRP, not WKRP, WQRP, 92.9 in Malakoff, Texas. KTSQ in Purley, Texas on 97.3. And then finally, KZPZ. Kind of like that one, KZPZ, as in easy peasy. 106.7 FM, Mount Vernon, Texas. A lot going on in Texas, more than you know. And I'm going to read you this, and you can make of this what you will, but it scared me a little bit. I guess you understand who the Inuit are, right? The Inuit up north? Well, the Inuit elders have sent a warning, actually, to NASA from the Inuit people. They are warning that the change in climate on our Earth is not due to global warming, but rather because they say the Earth is shifting a bit. Holy mackerel. The Inuits are a local people that live in the Arctic regions of Canada, the U.S., and Greenland. They're excellent weather forecasters, and so were their ancestors. Presently, they are warning NASA that the cause of change in weather, earthquakes, and so forth, not due to global warming, as the world thinks. They also say the Earth has actually shifted or wobbled. Their sky has changed. Their sky has changed. The elders declare, listen very carefully, that the sun rises at a different position now, not where it used to previously. They also say now they've got longer daylight to hunt with. The sun is a lot higher than earlier. It gets warmer much quickly. Other elders across the north also confirming the same thing about the sky changing when interviewed. They also allege that the position of the sun, moon, and stars have all changed, causing changes in the temperature. This has also affected the wind, and it is very difficult to predict the weather now, according to them, because of these changes. All the elders confirm that the Earth has shifted. Now, is that something to worry about, or is that something to worry about? The Earth has shifted. In other words, wobbled or tilted toward the north. So all the sky looks different to them. The stars, where the sun is, when the sun is, everything has changed. And sure enough, if you think about it, that is definitely something that NASA might want to look into. All right, in a moment, a lady named Elaine, who lives in Texas. Matter of fact, Elaine moved to rural East Texas from Hawaii in late 2006. She very quickly realized that life in East Texas was, why, a bit different from what she left behind in Hawaii. At her new isolated country home, she soon realized that she and her son were not alone. Not alone. Elaine felt as if she was being watched. She noticed her rabbits were being set free. Their cages, you know, opened during the night. Heard rocks being thrown at the house, frightened. She didn't know what she was dealing with until one night she came face to face with what she could only call Bigfoot. Now, East Texas is renowned for its Bigfoot. That would be plural, I guess. Bigfoot, right? You wouldn't say foots. Bigfoots. No. Bigfoot. It's the singular and the plural, I think. Anyway, we're going to interview Elaine tonight, and you're going to hear about it. She has not previously been interviewed on any radio program. She has not written any books. She is not profit-oriented. Yes, everybody wants money, but she doesn't appear to be doing anything at all to be trying to generate a profit from all of this. In fact, she's not going to let you know exactly where she is in East Texas, nor are we necessarily using a name that will lead you to her. But she definitely is coming up next. From the high desert in the great American Southwest, this is Midnight in the Desert.
Take a walk on the wild side of midnight. From the Kingdom of Nye, this is Midnight in the Desert with Art Bell. Please call the show at 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
All right, now listen to me very carefully. I want you to understand Elaine is not a professional speaker. She is just a regular person, not a broadcaster or anything like that. She's just a person that this has happened to. She's in East Texas, where so much of this seems to go on. Same place that Bugs had his misadventure. Same place, we got another photograph today from East Texas of something that darn well looks like Bigfoot. It's big something. Elaine, welcome to Midnight in the Desert.
Oh, thank you so much, Art. It's such a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you. So, I bet you noticed a big difference from Hawaii and East Texas, huh?
Well, yeah. See, we were here before we went to Hawaii when my son was a little boy.
I see.
And then we went over there and stayed for like 12 or 13 years and come back here. But
okay. Yeah,
it changed a lot.
That makes sense. You have a boy. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And his name is Sierra?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I don't know how we begin with all this, Elaine. I guess we begin with how long ago this began.
Well, it began when we moved here in 07. Actually, it was the end of 06 in December, and then January of 07 we were here in the country. But he was already here, prowling around the place, but I didn't know it. And in September, I don't know why I remember the date. I just guess I remember it. It was September 17th is when I had the face-to-face encounter.
Well, you ought to remember that. if anybody who sees a Bigfoot would mark that day one way or the other.
Yeah.
But I guess little things were happening before this. You know, you mentioned, I guess, something about the rabbits.
Yeah, my son and I, you know, we moved into a fixer-upper, and there was a lot of work that needed to be done, and half the house needed fixing up. And I was just kind of scared. I'm not a scary type person. I'm an adventurous type person, but I was kind of scared at times and almost every night. And I'm a painter, and I used to paint in one of the rooms next to a light late at night, and I always felt for sure there was somebody out there looking at me.
Well, I know the feeling. You know, you kind of know when you're being watched.
Yeah. And, you know, you can guess what's going on, but when you see something face-to-face, you know what's going on.
Oh, you do. You do. So September 17th, what did you do? I mean, you heard something, obviously, or something.
Well, what had happened, I had brought some rabbits from Hawaii. I raised lionhead rabbits, and they were in the barn. And I kept hearing noises. My son and I both heard noises at night that we couldn't figure out what they were. You know, mm-hmm. You sometimes hear these bumps and things. You think, well, what was that, you know? And so that was happening. And then when my rabbits were loose in the barn, we definitely knew something was going on. We didn't really know what, but we bought a million candle power flashlight.
Yep, I like
those.
Just
so we would have, you know, just so we'd have some light to see what, if there was anything out there. And
oh, I know. I love those things. So, I've got several.
Yeah. So we were sitting in the living room one night, and something just hit the side of the house. And I looked at my son. I said, did you hear that? And he said, yeah. We grabbed the million candle light, and we running out the back door. And I had a beautiful German Shepherd with us, and she didn't show any aggressive signs. And so I didn't think anything was up. My son went to the front of the house. He said, I'm going to go check on my truck. Him and the dog went to the front. I stayed at the back, and I was leaning up against the pickup looking towards north. And just slowly, slowly, this creature just rose straight up, slowly, slowly, bigger, taller, taller, taller. And I'm standing there, and all I was just scared to do or say anything, and I was talking. I said, oh, my God, that's all I could get out with.
Elaine, how tall are you?
I'm 4'11".
4'11". Okay. How big, when this thing was standing erect, if it went fully erect, how tall would you say it was?
Well, he was about 10 or 12 feet away from me, and he was so big that when he kept going up taller and taller, I definitely knew it wasn't a regular thing. And I would say over 8 feet tall.
Over 8 feet. Can you describe him beyond that? Did you have the million candle power on him?
No, my son had took that, but there was a moon out, and he's light-colored, and I could see him from the moon reflecting on him. And he had a big head, and it didn't seem to have much of a neck. He just went from his big head down to his wide shoulders, and he stood there with his arms hanging down. And he just stood there and looked at me. For a while, it was a few seconds, you know, probably 10 or 15 seconds. And then he turned and sprinted off towards the darkness, towards the north.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog started barking, the horses across the way started running.
All right, can you describe anything about this creature? Did it have hair?
Yeah, it seemed to be long hair. It was kind of a long, flowing hair.
Long, flowing. Could you make out any color in that light?
Well, it was either white or blonde or some light color. It wasn't brown or red or black.
Okay. Has this creature, it's been around your property now for how long? How many years?
That was in 07, and so he's been here since then.
So this is a regular thing?
Yeah, it is. And I've been so disappointed. Sometimes I wanted to move, but we're not able to move, and we just figure out ways to live with it, you know.
And how do you do that?
Well, I gave him offering after I had the face-to-face encounter, and I offered him three different types of food, and he took the pie.
He took the pie.
Yeah, he took the pie, it was up on the top of a washing machine that was sitting out back there. And since then, and at that time, I was fresh from Hawaii, walking around with short shorts on, looking all suntanned and all cute back 10 years ago. And, you know, he tried to communicate with me, and no matter how much courage I could conjure up, it scared me, and I would run away every time I would hear his little bird-like. He would whistle and stuff like that.
Whistle, huh?
Well, it was kind of a chirping whistle, and there was all kinds of sounds. This guy can make all kinds of sounds.
Did he do any damage to your property?
No, but he does a lot of pranks and stuff. He breaks light bulbs, and he puts handprints on the cars, and he leaves scats for me to see in my walkway, no matter, you know, it'll be 2 feet from tall grass, but he puts it right there where I'll see it.
That's an incredible story. And so you've literally been living with this creature. I wonder if you have just sort of moved into, obviously, I guess, its home, or its home area is a way to put it. Are you in a wooded area, Elaine? What's it like?
I'm completely surrounded by a forest. There's a small forest next to the road there where I saw him and his son. I guess you would call it his son.
His son?
He has...
a little foot.
He has a son. Yeah, he has a junior. And I think that it was born around the time I got here, because I've just watched the changes, you know, throughout the years. And he's about my size now, so that would make him, you know, pretty young. But
May I inquire of your age?
Yeah, I'm 69. Well, do I have to tell the real age?
No.
I'm up there, but I'm...
What was that,
young.
29?
I'm up there. I had my son when I was 35, so
I'm... That's all right.
I'm up there, but I'm young at heart.
I understand. Now
I'm
you,
a mature lady.
You have observed Bigfoot long enough now, probably, to understand something of Bigfoot's patterns. Would that be true?
Oh, yeah. After the encounter, I just was aware of his presence, and so I just started trying to figure out what he's doing and study him and study his ways and just listen and see what I could hear. And I came to the conclusion that at sunset they come out,
sunset.
And at sunrise they go, and I believe he goes underground.
Nocturnal, then.
Yeah, but he does come out in the daytime, because the other day a fire truck went by and it was going, and I could hear him in the woods screaming to the other guys, you know, the other Bigfoots.
All right, now you say that Bigfoot has a son, Littlefoot we'll call him, and you refer to them both in the male. So, you know, it is obvious when you look at them, they're... Sex.
No, it's just the feeling I've got. I just got a feeling that he's got the male son that runs around with him at night, because there'll be two piles of scats and there'll be two big layers of flattened out grass where they, you know, sit down or lay down and stuff like that.
How do you adjust, Elaine? How do you adjust to something like this? I mean, you know right away this is a creature that is... Well, I'm not sure how to put it, but if not paranormal, then abnormal, certainly. And I just wonder how you can possibly adjust to having it around all the time.
Well, it gets pretty disgusting at times, and we have wanted to just move away because I know he's not going anywhere. But we just haven't been able to, and the only... part, besides knowing he's out there at night, and there are nights that I can't sleep at all because I know he's out there, and he may not hurt me, but he puts out this aura or this feeling of fear. I don't know if it's just the way he is as an animal, human, whatever he is, but it's scary. He puts out a scary feeling. You know, my son and I both get scared, and I don't think he would hurt us. He could hurt us, but he hasn't.
Have you done anything threatening toward him? I mean, my inclination would be go run, get the shotgun.
Oh, no.
No?
No way. Now, I do have a pistol that I sleep with, and I would try to protect myself if he came through the house or something. I keep my doors locked. When we moved in, there were no curtains on any of the windows or anything, and when I put curtains up, he growled.
He growled?
Yeah, he was watching through the windows. And
wonderful. Elaine, are you isolated where you are? How close is the next residence?
Well, this is like a little tiny rural community, and when we moved here, there weren't very many people at all. There was about, in city talk, it would be a trailer house about a block and a half down the way.
Pretty isolated, yeah.
Yeah, and then there was like a house in the back, which would be like a quarter of a mile down the road behind us. But back then, he was very active. He'd go running around at night and getting tin and hitting sheds and screaming and quacking and doing everything, because one of the guys was deaf, and so apparently he thought that he could make all the noise he wanted. And one of our neighbors was deaf, you know, so things were kind of radical back then, and he's changed a lot throughout the years.
Okay. A lot of people who now, you know what they're going to say, Elaine? They're going to say, all this time, surely you've gotten some photographs or audio or, you know, something from Bigfoot.
Art, I have tried. Believe me, I have tried. My son set up, video cameras, little, the small cameras now they have, and a little tiny computer type things.
Sure.
Pads and stuff. But there was one on the front gate, and we had an extension cord running from the front porch plug out to it, and he unplugs it.
Really?
Yeah, and my son saw me. He said, did you unplug the camera? I said, no. And he said, well, it keeps getting unplugged. And he doesn't come around either. You know, I've sat up all night putting food out there, trying to see him. I never see him. I had a puppy that was an aggressive dog, and she would bark when he would come around. And so one night my son and I saw the dog run towards the road and turn around and come back and run under the house. I said, he's out there. So I told my son, I said, don't shine the light out there until we open the door and we're on the front porch. And so we opened the door, went on the front porch, shined the light straight ahead with a million power light.
Right.
And there he was. He was hiding behind a big round bale of hay. And you could see him from his middle of his face up. And his eyes were yellow. They were glowing in the light.
Right.
And he just slowly, slowly sank down behind the hay bale.
Huh. Do you think of this creature as gentle in any way?
I think this creature has many emotions. As much as I have tried to befriend him and gain his confidence and all, he got mad at me last week when I went outside with the camera, and I wasn't even trying to film him. I was looking at something in the sky, and he screamed at me. And it scared me to death. And I came running in the house as fast as I could and raised the kitchen window. And he screamed about three or four times at me. And he was mad.
And screams are not good. That is scary.
I said, wow, after all the food I've given him and all the stuff, you know.
Good point.
He still gets mad at me.
Ungrateful.
He still gets mad at me. But that's just the way it goes.
Well, if it is really Bigfoot, then it is it's different than anything we know, and so it would be really hard to even know what might make it angry. You mentioned when you put up curtains, it got angry about that.
Yeah, he growled.
So
I've heard him growl a few times.
Now I know that you have caught him on audio, at least, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a short clip here that I'm going to play, and I had to edit it because your son, I believe, uttered a word that we shouldn't be using on radio during the encounter. This is just, here you are dealing with this now for years and years, right?
Yes.
How does that feel? I guess it makes you want to move, of course.
Yeah, it does. But until the time comes for us to move, we're stuck here.
Uh-huh. And you haven't written any books. You haven't really gone on any other shows. So you're
I've got enough stuff to write a book, but I'm just trying to compile it all because it's very interesting. I've got many stories.
Oh, I bet you do. We'll be right back.
Darkest time between dusk and dawn. From the high desert, it's Art Bell's Midnight in the Desert. Now, here's Art.
My guest is Elaine. Elaine has never written a book. Elaine has never been on a radio show before. So this is all new. She has been living, not with, but in a sense with Bigfoot, in her area, around her house, one and its son, I guess I ought to say. I had no idea there were two of them, for many years now. And so she's obviously learned a great deal about Bigfoot. I guess you've learned a great deal about Bigfoot, right?
Right. I try anyway. I try to keep up with him. I think he keeps up with me better than I do him, though, because... He knows when he knows what goes on in this house. He knows when people are here. One night my son went to visit a friend, and I heard the tap, tap, tap on the window.
I
called my son. I said, you better come home.
Okay, there's something scary here. Apparently this Bigfoot has attacked somebody in the past. Can you please tell me that story?
Yeah. Sorry, I had to get a drink. I saw another one of these creatures years ago when we lived here before, and I was coming home from bringing my son home from kindergarten, and it was a brown one, and he was tall and lanky, and we were on a dirt road about a mile off of the main highway, and we were just coming on down the road, and all of a sudden he jumped a barbed wire fence and sprinted across this little dirt road and was over another fence, and he was gone. And he had on a blue flannel shirt, of all things. This guy
what?
Had on a shirt. Yeah, he had on his shirt and nothing else.
Then how do you know this was a Bigfoot, not a human?
Because he was really, really tall, really, really fast, and really, really hairy.
That would be a clue, all right. Okay, so you saw this tall, lanky, brown-haired, long-haired creature with a human shirt.
And as the crow flies, my house was about a mile and a half across the woods from him. And I began to feel like I was being watched back then.
Right.
And one night he was my dogs. I had dogs in a kennel, German Shepherds. And bark, bark all night long, just barking and howling and barking. And so about 3 o'clock I decided to go out and let them out. And I walked out the back into the corral and took about 10 steps, and that son of a gun, he howled at me and screamed at me just like that one I already sent you.
Right.
But it's a different Bigfoot. So the dogs came in, and I didn't have any more really encounters with this Bigfoot. My neighbor's boat got turned around mysteriously, but other than that, it was not much to that situation. And I had a girlfriend, and she and I weren't real close, but we were friends.
Uh-huh.
And she had told me, she confided in me, and that she had been raped by either someone in the clergy, and her parents didn't believe her, and she really never got over it. She was, you know, hurt by them not believing her, and it affected her. And so, I don't know, sometime later, maybe a month or so later, her husband called me and asked me if I had seen her, and I said, no, I haven't seen her. And he said, well, she's missing. Well, the next morning, they found her. Now, at the time, none of this made sense, and nobody did anything or said anything about it. And, you know, Bigfoot is just coming on nowadays. Back in the old days, there wasn't much said about it. But anyway, they found her naked next to the forest, and she was covered in cuts and scratches. And I went over there, and it was chaotic. Family was there and everything, trying to get her back together and stuff. So some short while later, I don't know how many days it was, but maybe a week or so, she had two children. She put them to bed and went in the living room where her husband was, got the shotgun, and shot her heart out of her chest.
My God. So it's alleged or thought that when she was found naked with all these bruises and everything, she was mm-hmm. assaulted by a Bigfoot?
That's what I get out of it. And, you know, I have no proof, and she's been dead for a long time, and there was nothing said then. But that's just what I got, because she wasn't able to face the first rape. And if something like that happened to a woman or a person, can you imagine trying to tell somebody that that happened to you?
No.
It's just one of those things. I just don't think it could be said, you know.
No, I agree. But, I mean, you know, the damage to her body was consistent with something like that?
Well, as far as I could get out of it, because her husband said she had cuts and scratches all over and she was naked. Now, he worked nights, and she wasn't crazy. She wouldn't go into the woods by herself at night and
naked. No. And
she had two little children. They were like 3 and 4 years old.
I'm curious. Was it general knowledge in your little area that these creatures inhabit that area?
Very few people talk about it, Art.
Mm-hmm. Here's somebody, John, who says, Art, I'm from East Texas. It also has been known as the Boggy Creek Monster, too. I heard these noises growing up. So East Texas, Elaine, seems to be a real hotspot for Bigfoot reports and creature reports of the kind that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Were you aware of that?
Well, I was after I saw the first one, that big brown one.
You've seen one, sure. But I mean for other reports. For example, I interviewed somebody called Bugs, East Texas, many years ago.
Bugs.
You remember Bugs?
Yeah.
Good, okay.
Yeah.
And we even have a photograph, which, by the way, you should look at if you get an opportunity. It's down below your picture, and it was just sent tonight from somebody in East Texas. Now, I don't know what the hell this thing is. You can go to artbell.com and take a look down below the guest information, and you tell me. It's way out in what looks like a field, and whatever it is, it's really big. It's hunched down, but it's really big. You haven't seen that yet, I take it, right?
No, I'm having trouble with my computers are slow. We got that old satellite in thing, and it's just slow right now. But
yep.
I've heard a few stories from a few people but most people don't want to talk about it. Most people laugh at you.
No, I get it. I know.
And I had a law enforcement officer live across the pasture. I tried to tell him, and he just laughed it off and said, well, you better be careful, because you might wake up next to your bed one night, you know, and just kind of laughing it off.
Yeah.
I don't, I don't know if they've been told to do that or they just feel that way.
But. All right. I'm going to play a little bit of audio. But when the audio that I'm going to play, I'll let you date it after we hear it. Here it comes. And I had to cut it short because there was an expletive that her son said at some point during it.
Oh, Sierra, something's out here.
I know. Oh, God. Get the camera.
I got it.
Hey, John, there's something.
Turn off the light.
There's something out here. Oh, God. Listen. It's a Bigfoot out in my front yard. Wow. Oh, my God. Ooh. Oh, my God, it's scary. I gotta get the lead kind of far away. Wow. Yeah. Dude, when they were there, they went crazy.
All right, so I cut some of that out is what I did. Okay, Lane.
You know, and he does that.
I beg pardon?
I have a bloodhound, and he makes that woo, 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 you know.
Right,
but that screaming was him when he saw me with the camera outside.
Yeah, that's it. They do that. They scream. They definitely scream. And I know people are going to want me to play that again. I did. I just hit the button on that one part. But that's scary stuff. It really is scary stuff. And how often are you visited?
I may be visited every night, but the screaming and the chaos usually happens every other night, like, I believe they hunt the coyotes because he goes in there and he screams for the coyotes and they start yipping and the chaos is there and then it suddenly just stops.
Yeah, on some of the other recordings, you could really hear the coyotes going berserk. I mean, really berserk. It was obvious, and the dogs, and something big was out there, and that's what they were reacting to, and they sounded scared.
Oh, yeah. It's scary sometimes when you hear that big screaming, yelling, howling, whatever it is he does. And it's like he doesn't care if anybody hears him or not. It's so loud and so close. It's just, oh, let's get out of here. Mm-hmm. You know, let's get in the car and leave.
Yes. Have you ever done that?
Well, yeah. I was leaving one night real late to go to another town about 80 miles away, and we left about 3 o'clock in the morning, went out to the car, and that scream happened, and, oh, it was so scary. Sometimes it's scarier than at other times, you know. Sometimes it's really, really scary, and sometimes, you know, they're just trying to communicate.
Hmm. I can't imagine it being something that you get used to. Elaine, by any chance, was that recording, was that done about when? Can you tell me?
Oh, that was done, I don't know, maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Oh, so this is very recent.
Uh-huh.
So it could even be during the course of the interview tonight we could hear something. You never know.
If I was outside, you would probably hear something.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
would you do me a favor? Is your son handy somewhere?
Yeah.
Is it possible I could talk to him?
Sure. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. This is worth doing. Another witness.
Hello, Art.
Sierra, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. How are you?
Fine. Talking to your mom now about what's been going on around your property now for years and years. And apparently goes on nearly every night. So you verify her story?
Oh, yeah. And on top of her story, I've had, you know, my own encounters separately. Like, I'd go to the bathroom and outside the window, there'd be a growl. And I'd go back and tell mom, you know, did you hear that? You know, and it would be just at me. And then,
boy, for me, it'd ruin the moment.
I'm telling you, I got out of there fast. It was my bad. So, right. So we have this back bedroom, and I was sleeping back there for some reason, and I was laying with my head by the window, and this only happened like once, and it was like a snort next to the glass, and I didn't even move. I thought to myself, I'm not even going to look, because it sounded like a horse, and there's no horses anywhere close, and that really scared me, and that was a while back. And then the million candle power was just like she said, walked out, lit it right up, straight across the road, right through the sidewalk, right across the road to the hay bales, and there he was, and he just looked right at me and just went right down. I thought, no, it had to be a cat, and I thought that was no cat.
All right, if you were to describe what you saw, would it come out any differently? I mean, what did you see? Describe what you saw.
He had the yellow eyes and a narrow head, and he had almost grayish, it seemed like, skin, because it was entirely one color except for the eyes. And
skin or hair?
The same color. The hair would have been like an off-white, like a dirty. I even told her one time, maybe he came in from somewhere else and he lives here and got dirty, you know, because he's no longer white. He's like off-gray or sooty or dirty because he's just, you know, they get so dirty and sweaty down here. So it was a grayish white color.
I can't, you know, especially with the violence that has happened, albeit maybe another Bigfoot, that would just scare the hell out of me. I mean, to have it appear at the bathroom window or the bedroom window or any window would do me in. Do you have the same feeling of the trepidation, the fear that your mom does, that it's, you know, dangerous?
Yeah, because sometimes I don't go outside anymore after a certain time, and I used to always go work on my cars. You know, it was no problem to go out to your garage in Hawaii at 1 a.m. and there was no change in how you felt.
Right.
But here, you go outside, it's spooky, and you know it's something genuinely real, and it's scary enough to make you want to go back inside and just not even want to go out late because of everything from the disappearances you hear to what it's. I no longer want to just go down a back road because you just never know.
All right. Have you seen it scat?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there any way to describe? I mean, I don't want to sit here and do a detailed description of somebody's scat, but something scat. How big is it? Is it the size of human scat or bigger?
Both. Larger.
Larger.
And the size of human. And since there's like limited fruits and vegetables around here that, you know, around here locally, there's things like persimmon, and it's fully loaded with persimmons, and nothing's going to eat that much persimmon seed, not even wild coyotes, because coyotes are scavengers. Everybody says, oh, it's a coyote. No, they're not predators. They're scavengers, you know. And then whatever it is, he's eating fruit from somewhere.
Eating fruit?
Or, yeah, like plums. Wild plums we have down here grow by the river.
And apparently, according to your mom, pie.
Yeah, and of course, over the years, yeah. What he takes without a trace, there's nothing ever left.
I guess if you leave something like that food, it would have to almost any animal would interpret that as a friendly gesture, I would think.
Mm-hmm. And animals like possums or coons, they're going to shred up the plastic and leave it trashed, or a dog, the neighbor's dog, get in your trash and leave it strewn everywhere. These are either perfectly, delicately undone and removed from the packaging like a person would remove a sandwich, or
gone
completely.
Have you, you know, your mom said she sometimes feels like getting in the car and just getting out of there. Have you come to that point yourself, Sarah?
Me, yeah. That's why I sent you some of those sounds, because it's something you don't want to hear all the time.
Not
normal people, you know.
I don't want to hear it at all, Sarah. I wouldn't want to hear that sound outside. I hear coyotes, but boy, nothing like what you sent. And that's what this thing does, is scream.
Yeah, and because there's, I'm going to keep looking. Because I have drives of recordings, and there's some where there's roaring, like we talk about, amidst the chaos, there's roaring, and it's like from a movie clip or something. It's like a monstrous yell, and I've got more of those. I think one of them is kind of muffled, but it's there. And so it uses the chaos, and either, like, you'll hear the coyotes, like you were saying, they go berserk, and then it's almost like one of them is struck down, and uh-huh. It's all silent. Instantly, like, just instantly silent. And it's really heavy, you know.
Would you say you've ever been in fear of your life?
At times. I was scared, so, and it, just like around Halloween, it picks up just like you wouldn't believe. So there's really some stuff out there.
All right. Well, I'd like to get other recordings from you. We've got to take a break here, Sierra. You can go ahead and put your mom back on, and we'll continue in a moment. That's Sierra.
Midnight in the Desert is a wild trip across the Dazed Divisor. Get your ticket to ride by calling 1-952-CALL-ART. That's 1-952-225-5278.
All right, once again, from East Texas, here is Elaine. Hi, Elaine.
Hey.
All right, so here comes somebody. I get these computer messages as we do the show through something called the wormhole. Art, I don't think Elaine has Bigfoot living in her backyard. I think she's got a feral homeless man living there. It's hard to believe the story without some kind of concrete evidence. She needs someone to install wireless cams. So what about the possibility there are almost feral humans, Elaine? Not exactly feral, but close. And that's what he's saying. It could be some kind of homeless man living there. Is that in any world a possibility of, you know, I know you've seen it close up, so.
You know, for me personally, that's not in it. But other people that have never seen one, you know, they have all these different ideas about what it might be or could be.
But I know.
When you've seen one, you know. There's no more questions. It could be this, it could be that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've communicated with him. When he leaves his scats around, I go out there and I can tell by what he's eating and what's going on with him just by looking at him. And I've seen healthy, healthy scats. Mm. I sold some.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Get your scat here. No, who'd you sell to? I don't want a name, but I mean,
I don't know, some guy in Canada, you know, and I was willing to, if they want to run DNA, because I knew exactly what it was. But, you know, people say, oh, it was an owl, it was this, it was that. But I know what it is. I see his footprints. I see his scats. I hear his growls. This is not a human being.
Okay.
You don't walk around in the forest at night without a light, because there's snakes, there's holes, there's, you know, all
sure.
kinds of things in the forest. It's very, very dangerous. And no, I don't care what they think. I know what it is.
Have you ever attempted to take plaster out and put it in the footprints, or take pictures of the footprints or anything?
Yeah, I think I sent you a picture of a footprint.
Oh, I didn't get it. You probably sent it to my producer. I'm sorry, we didn't put that up. You do have it, huh?
Yeah, a friend of mine came here from Hawaii, and he and I went hiking into this area, which is about 2 blocks from my house. The pasture starred, and it's all woods and creeks and
right.
stuff. That's where I hear it. Well, we went all down through there, and we came back up, and we came through a pine forest. And at the edge of the pine forest, there was this big, giant footprint. And we kept walking, and there were these giant berms. They were here when I moved here. A dozer had come in and cleaned the land and put trees and all kinds of junk in these great big piles. Well, these piles are huge now. They have trees growing out of them.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, we went there. And because that's where I always hear him screaming. It's not far from my house. And there was this weird thing in the ground. It was like a V shape. It wasn't really a pyramid, but it was a V shape. It was perfectly straight. Now, nobody goes on this property. This is private property, and nobody lives there. Nobody goes there. And I went there because I was looking for him, Bigfoot, and just seeing what I could see. And anyway, there was a place, my friend said, look, and there were about eight piles of scats in this one probably 12-foot square area next to one of these berms. And I thought, well, this is what he's doing. He's coming out using the bathroom, and he's going back inside. He's not going to poop in his little den or whatever he's got there, you know. And I sent you pictures of some of that.
Okay, I'm really sorry we didn't get those through, but we'll get them up. We'll get them up for people to see if we can. I think my producer probably has them and can get them to Keith, my webmaster, and we'll get them up. That helps. It really helps. People are wondering why, though. Look, if you were going to hoax this thing, you could take a picture just like the one I got tonight from East Texas and say, okay, here's Bigfoot. So you haven't done that. And the only thing that people are hanging on now, Elaine, is that you have not captured a photograph of this creature.
Well, I'll tell you, it's just not easy. And they know when there's cameras and electronics going on. I don't know if they can, if they feel the electric whatever or the radio waves or whatever's going on. I don't, but they know. Because I put stuff out there to get a picture, and I put it inside of a bird house with a little, like a camera that you put on your computer. I stuck it through the hole, and I had, but he don't come.
Elaine, I think it is to your credit that you didn't hoax up some Bigfoot picture, and that you don't have one, I guess, really is not a surprise to me. Frankly, I give you more credibility for admitting you don't have one and that you think it avoids them, right?
Well, I just kind of gave up. I worked so hard to try to see him and all this, and I put food out there about midnight for him, and I come back in, and I watch TV or do whatever I do, and I go to bed. I don't even pay attention to him. Next morning I go out there, if it's gone and it's a clean area and it just got took, fine. If an animal knocked it over and got over, that's fine. But I have had 9 years of this, and so I don't pay much attention to him, really. If I go out the back door and I smell a smell that smells like a pig pen.
Okay, bingo. That's the next question. That's where I was going to go. A lot of people say there is a distinctive smell about Bigfoot. Many, many say that.
Sometimes there is and sometimes there isn't. I think they do bathe. We have a lot of lakes around here, you know, and because the night I had the face-to-face encounter, no smell whatsoever.
Really?
Nothing.
Really?
Nothing.
So you think they bathe?
I do.
Okay, so that puts them somewhere, I don't know, between what we think of as a creature of the wild, and obviously there's some intelligence here. Anything that unplugs cords for cameras, avoids cameras, knows when it's being watched or observed.
Mm-hmm.
Some intelligence, right?
Of course.
How about communication, Elaine? Has it ever tried to communicate to you, do you believe?
Yeah. Yes, he has.
Ow.
When we first met, he tried to talk love talk to me. It was like a bird singing and, you know, and it had so much feeling in it. I thought, oh, my gosh, this thing has got a crush on me. I got to get out of here. You know? And that's when I started boarding up my windows. And I bought wood and I made walls where the windows were. And I have a few windows that are still open, but they're covered with foil and stuff. But throughout the years, you know, come to Texas, lose your teeth and get sick. So I don't think he has a crush on me anymore. But
you know, I honestly think that if you wanted to hoax this up, you could have done it. It doesn't sound like a hoax to me. It doesn't sound like you're hoaxing anybody. And why did you finally decide to come on the radio?
Well, because to me, it's an interesting story. You know, nobody's going to tell it. Like my neighbor, she had an aggressive dog. He got pulled and apart in shreds. His legs, his body was completely pulled apart, you know. And that's the second one that's like that. And my other neighbor, they have a little dog that barks like crazy. And I was out front one night, and I heard him growling at the little punk dog that makes all the trouble. I'm surprised he hadn't killed him. But, you know, it's happening. It's here.
Okay. Here's somebody, Terry, who says, look, when she said the Bigfoot was wearing a flannel shirt, that can't be. I can't see how it can wear a flannel shirt without ripping or tearing it because the arms are too big, the shoulders too wide for any normal shirt to fit on something that big.
Well, there's a lot of big people down here in East Texas, and I've looked on the Internet at some of the reports, and I have seen reports of a Bigfoot wearing shirt, but I'm just saying what I saw.
I understand, and I respect that. You know, if you're going to make up a story, I don't think you would add a fact that, you know, frankly could be questioned, right? People would obviously say, what do you mean a shirt? Come on. But
well,
it's
like
not,
I
it's,
said,
look, it's not out of reason to believe that an animal would be observing humans. And as it observes humans, it sees that humans wear some clothing. And if it found clothing out on a line somewhere, it might just try it. If it has some level of intelligence, I can see that happening. So the more I hear your story, and I'm hearing it for the first time right now, the more I think if you were going to make it up, you sure wouldn't make up these facts.
Well, I wouldn't lie because I couldn't keep up with my lies. I don't lie. My life is more exciting than if it were fiction.
I think that people don't want to believe this kind of thing, Elaine. I mean, it scares them. If they think it's real, it scares them, and maybe it should.
Well, it kind of bothers me that I know that there's cameras and technology out there that can see these creatures walking around the forest at night. But no one talks about it. No, it's never on the news. I hate to say this, but I think there's a cover-up.
Well, I guess that would be a thing to imagine. If the reality is happening to you, and it could be easily captured by, say, a camera crew or something.
Well, airplane with a camera, one of them night vision, not night vision, but picks up thermal imaging.
That's right.
Those can pick up lots of stuff.
That's right, registering heat.
Right.
So you've had not one, but many, many experiences with Bigfoot, right?
Right.
All right. What I'd like to do is pause. When we come back, I want to open the lines for you, Elaine. I want people to be able to ask questions. And if that's okay with you, all right, good. Elaine and her son, Sierra, both have been dealing with this creature now for years. If you have questions, let's rock.
bell, and it's very late, so I'm sleeping now. But you're awake, so call my daddy, because he's awake, too. The number is 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
That is my daughter, my 8-year-old daughter, Asia. And, by the way, word of warning to everybody, it looks like the Bell household may be coming down with a cold. It begins with a little one and works its way up. I'm sure Mom is next, and then comes me. So we'll see. Cross fingers, but she's got a big, deep cough and a temperature, so... You know, when you're in the third grade, you bring home homework and viruses, actually. All right, once again, to Elaine, but just before I do that, I want to again say, listen to me. Elaine is just a normal person in East Texas. Not a broadcaster, not an accomplished radio person, no real reason to come on and tell us all this, and you can ask her what you want to ask her. Yes, they have not obtained photographs yet. It would be easy to fake one. If you wanted to cook a thing up, you could fake a photograph, no problem. They've tried to get photographs unsuccessfully. They do have audio. I understand they do have photographs of footprints as well that we're going to try and get up for you. They've got a whole lot of audio, actually. So there you have it. Now, with respect to calling us, here's the easy way to do it. The public number, as Asia said, area code 952-225-5278. The Skype way to do it is as follows. If you've got a smartphone, doesn't matter what kind, download Skype. It's free and easy. When you get it downloaded, don't go to where you dial. You know, it's got a keypad on there. Don't go there. Go to where you add a contact. It's like a little plus sign that you hit. Add contact. And add us. If you're in North America, that's America and Canada, we would be MITD 51. MITD 51. If you're outside North America, put in MITD 55. That's MITD 55. And then we'll appear in your contact list. And to call us, all you've got to do is go to your contact list and click on it, and it will call us. And it's free, no matter where in the world you are. Okay, once again, Elaine's back. And that's what I think, Elaine. People, of course, you know, when they hear somebody like you and your son tell a story like this, Elaine, they want to rip it apart. You know, that's just the way it's the way people are. However, I personally believe your story, and the reason I believe it is because if you're going to cook it up, you'd have cooked it up in a more believable way, meaning Bigfoot wouldn't have a human shirt on. you'd probably have photographs because there's a million of them on the Internet you could grab and say, see here, you do have audio, you do have prints in the ground, and you've interacted with this creature now for years. So... Mm-hmm. People can think what they want, I guess.
Now,
what?
We interact by he'll leave a scat, and I have a plastic planter, and I'll go out there and I'll put the planter next to his scat, and I will put whatever I've got to feed him. Sometimes it's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Sometimes it's a ham sandwich. But
right.
I give him sandwiches because he won't eat loose food like macaroni and cheese or something like that. And that's how we communicate. And it's no guarantee that he'll take it every night. Like he took it the first night that there was a scat there, and it looked pretty bad. It had, you know, little pieces of tree bark and, you know, seeds.
Yes, ma'am.
And grass and stuff like that in it. And I knew he was hungry because none of my trees have flourished this year. There's no fruit out there. There's no pears. There's no peaches. There's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I fed him. You know, I fed him. I've been offering him stuff for 9 years now. And so, you know.
What do you say to people who say she's just making all this up?
I don't say anything to them. I'm not trying to convince them of anything. I'm just telling them how I have to live here with these creatures, and it's been like this ever since we moved here.
I really appreciate your candor. On Skype, I think it's Scott. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Art. Hi, Elaine. How are you?
Hi, Scott.
I just have a question. Has your guest heard of the Sierra sounds, the sounds that Bigfoot has made in the Sierra Mountains that sound like Native Americans or kind of a Chinese samurai type of thing?
I'm sorry, you lost me. You're saying that you heard some sounds in the Sierras?
Well, no, the Sierra sounds are actually a very popular Bigfoot sound. It sounds like chatter, like samurai chatter. Have you ever heard the Bigfoot that live around your area? Have they ever made that type of kind of samurai chatter?
Sometimes he'll whistle, and sometimes he'll chirp. Sometimes he'll quack. I hear him go quack, 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 you know.
Really?
And, he'll quack, and you can hear him running. He's very fast, and he'll quack as he runs, and you can hear the sound traveling across the back of my field.
can you gauge how fast he's running by the sound of the footsteps in the woods?
He's very fast. He covered an acre of land in about 4 seconds.
Now, how can you tell that that's not a native animal like a deer or a or any other native animal?
I've never seen a deer on my property, and I've never heard a deer quack.
Do you have any wild boar or anything?
We have boars, but they don't run around here, and I've never had any, I've never seen any running around.
Okay, well, I'd like you to take a look at the Sierra sounds, the chirping and the, it's almost like samurai chatter, and try to see if it sounds like that, like if you've ever heard any sounds like that.
That's a thought.
Is it listed as sounds in the Sierras or something by Bigfoot?
Well, I mean, I guess the guy who recorded them kind of compared them to maybe like an ancient Native American chatter. Art, you've heard of the samurai, Sierra sounds, haven't you?
I have,
chatter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right,
I'll try and pick it out.
Yeah, we'll do some comparison. I appreciate your call. Let's go to the phone and somewhere in Georgia, I think. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
I hear you. Get good and close to your mic. Hello?
Look, got disconnected.
I think so. That's too bad. Mm-hmm. Dublin, Georgia, are you there or not? Going once, going twice, three times. Danville. Hello, Danville, Virginia.
Hello, Art. This is John. I called you on a previous Bigfoot show about the guys riding dirt bikes in the woods.
Okay.
And I just want to say everything this lady says makes perfect sense. People asked us, why did you get a picture of the footprints? Well, we were teenage boys. We never thought about getting pictures. Nobody believed us. Our parents laughed at us.
Mm-hmm.
But I stood, like I told you on a previous show, 15 feet from one of these things. It looked it right in the face. And there was no smell. I was terrified. We encountered it over a period of about 2 years. And as far as the speed of the thing running, a cousin of mine witnessed it chasing me on a dirt bike across a field. She thought it was a bear at first, and then she realized a bear can't run that fast on
mm-hmm.
2 feet.
Right.
And when I came across the field to the other end, she realized that it wasn't a bear and it wasn't a man. And she said, did you see that thing running behind you? It was chasing a dirt bike and keeping up with me. And as a 14-year-old boy, I was clipping at a pretty good little pace across the dirt, having fun.
Well, that's the same thing Elaine said, that this thing covered an acre in just a few seconds, right?
Yes. I believe every word she says. I want to corroborate her story. Like I said, for about 2 years, from 74 to 1976, us as teenage boys encountered one of these. I guess, for lack of a better way to explain it, migrated through Danville, Virginia, and lived here for a couple of years. And then once it The reason we never seen it again, once we all got our driver's licenses and we got street bikes and hot rods, we, you know, we didn't go to the woods anymore.
I understand. All right. Well, listen, we're going to scoot, but thank you very much. I see no reason, no reason for Elaine to make any of this up. It is weird. I'll give you that. The shirt part is weird. The way it's acted is weird. The possible crime that was committed is certainly scary. And everything about
there
it.
There's another crime down here that happened probably a couple of months ago. And no one knew what it was, but I knew what it was.
What was that? And,
well, a guy down the road from me, a big giant dude, he got beat up real, real bad, broke his legs, broke his ribs. And he knows my son, and he talked to my son. If you'd like for Sierra to tell you the story, he can.
I would love that.
Okay. Sierra? Hold on.
Oh, that's quite all right. Again, I see no reason to make this stuff up at all. And if you were, you'd make it differently, wouldn't you?
About the guy down the road who got beat up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, hi, Sierra.
Hey. Hey, I'll refer to him as Trip. I don't know him much. I met him a couple times. And the one time I did, he told me this. And it was after an altercation with law enforcement. I went down there to visit with him, and he talked about the night before, and he was covered in dirt. His feet were dirty. He had a broken foot. He was covered in scratches, much like the other incident, and he was covered in blood, and fresh blood, dried blood, you know, he didn't even know. And all he could tell me, when he's about 6.5 foot tall,
yes,
it's like he stepped out of a war movie, you know, so and he was pretty much sober, and he told me, man, something beat the blank out of me, and I don't know what it was. And he just kept repeating that. He said, man, something just beat me up, man. I don't know what it was. And, you know, a couple of days later, I thought, wait a minute, you know, he don't know what beat him up, and this is a big dude, and he had broken bones and all, and it was, their house was really surrounded by woods. The woods come up to their house, practically, and like the overgrowth over their house, and he was no explanation because he didn't remember.
Are they far from you?
They were probably about not even 2 miles away.
Not even 2 miles. Wow. Broken bones, huh? So he was in the hospital for a while, I guess.
Yeah, and the police, they didn't know what to think. You know, nobody ever suspected him.
All right, Sierra, thank you very much. We're going to take a break here. Lane, when we come back. Yeah. What do you folks think?
It's 2 a.m.
The clock strikes 12. And Midnight in the Desert is pounding packets your way on the Dark Matter Digital Network. To call the show, please direct your finger digits to dial 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
Well, all right, so this is a new story. These are regular people. Elaine is a regular person. Sierra, her son, is a regular person. Everything you've heard that's gone on, if, you know, I scratch my head, right? If you were going to hoax something like this, you sure wouldn't do it like this. You just wouldn't. You would make up what would seem to be a more credible story. She's just telling it like it is. Elaine, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Lots of people to talk to you, Elaine. Jareen on Skype. You're on the air.
Howdy, Elaine. I got a couple of questions about that pie. I'm curious, what kind of pie are you putting out, or does he have a favorite?
Well, he gets what I got, whether he likes it or not. But that happened back in 07, and I had made a lemon meringue pie, and I just cut a piece of it and put it in a saucer, and I put some broccoli, and I put some carrots out there, and took the pie. Nothing else was taken.
Would have been my choice, too.
The second question is, you said that he didn't eat loose food. You talked about sandwiches of different types. Uh-huh. How solid is your pie?
Oh, well, it was just like a regular pie, you know, regular pie crust and stuff. I put it in a plate. I didn't wrap it up. Normally, he gets sandwiches.
Hmm. Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you much.
Right. Thank you. Thank you for the call, and take care. So when you say loose food, what do you mean?
I mean, like, if I got macaroni and cheese left over,
okay,
it's not going to work if I put it in a baggie and put it out there.
Gotcha.
You know, or, you know, any kind of... He does like meats, though. I do put meat out there. He'll take a ham sandwich in a minute.
Okay. Santa Ana, California. You're on the air with Elaine. Hi.
Hi. I wanted to talk to the guest.
You are?
Don't you think if you're talking about it on the talk show and you're laughing because you like it, that you're putting it in danger because there are always going to be people out there that want to kill it or find it?
Well, caller, number one, we haven't identified the town she's in. We've only said East Texas, and we haven't given a name that would lead anybody to her, so we're trying to be careful about that.
How about this? How about if I'm positive and I go on the other spectrum and ask something else?
Sure.
Okay, I have a idea. If you hired one guy, maybe one to two, and you had him sign a paper with three things. Number one, you're in control of your house, your area, and you can kick him off anytime. Number two, you get to talk about what happens if they do find something. And number three, you get to talk about what information gets out to the people. That way you're in complete control, and you've only got one to two guys that are specifically picked out by maybe Art and you, and they can use their infrared. They can be like, you know, masters, like rangers and stuff in the Army. They use their infrared. They do all this, but you're in control of what happens to it, what information gets out, and maybe they can say, like, yeah, we found something, but, you know, get off the land.
All right, well, maybe it's time now. Elaine, let's tell the story. You did apparently contact some TV something at one time, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I believe he was a cameraman for one of, I think it was Monster Quest or one of those
Monster Quest,
shows,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they came on your property.
Yeah. But I'll tell you something about Bigfoot. He knows who's in my house.
Well, the way I heard it, now, Elaine, the way I heard it, you kicked these people out. Is that right?
No, I didn't kick them out. I just don't have anything to do anymore with any of these research people because I don't know what they want, first of all, and why they're here, and they always say they're going to help me. Well, they can't help me.
They want pictures, of course.
Well, yeah, and they're not going to get him because I live here and I can't even get a picture of him, you know. And he knows when there's visitors here. He knows the cars that belong here and the cars that don't. They're not stupid creatures. They're very smart.
Okay.
And they're not going to come out, and even with friends that come over, they're not going to reveal themselves. And when they do, it's very rare, and sometimes it's by accident.
Well, I heard that you told them that they created so damn much commotion that they'd never see it.
No, it really wasn't like that. It's just that they came out and they had their lights and stuff, and I knew they weren't going to get anything. I was cordial to them. It's just that I don't really invite people back anymore. I don't have researchers come. I don't go to these research meetings and stuff. I just don't because there's nothing for me to gain out of it. I'm trying to protect this creature. You know, I don't want him killed.
All right, now that's the first time you've said that. You want to protect this creature.
Well, I've got his friendship, you know, and I'm not a killer. The only way I'll kill him or even try is if he tries to kill me, and I don't think he will. But he has the power to.
So on the one hand, you have trepidation, a feeling of fear sometimes.
Sure.
But on the other, you're protective of the creature itself.
Yeah, because I'm not going to put it out there. Oh, I live at so-and-so on this road and that road. And yeah, come on out here and take pictures and see if you can find. No, I'm not into that at all.
All right. Washington, Georgia, you're on with Lane.
Hey, Lane. I have a question. I think I saw something a lot like what you're describing. And one of the things that struck me was the way it moved its head. Did it move its head oddly to you or very distinctive at all?
Well, it was at night, and he just stood there and looked at me, you know. I really didn't get a chance to see him looking around or nothing. The other time I seen him, my bloodhound showed and looked over towards the drive going by the house. He was, him and the young one were there, and they just stood there like, oh, I'm caught, and they were very still and didn't move.
Hmm.
And then the one across the road, the same guy, he just went very slowly down behind the hay. So I really haven't seen them do much moving around, really, with their heads.
Okay. And then another question I have is, when you hear them running through the woods, do they sound like they're very, like, nimble, very careful, where they step as they're running quite fast?
You know, in the beginning, he was more open, and he was around a lot, moving in the woods, and you could hear him stepping on limbs and crackling in the bushes and stuff. But he don't do that too much anymore. But in the beginning, when we first moved here, he was very active, and you could hear him walking through the woods, and it was pretty scary.
What about his legs?
Well,
were they normal human-type legs, or were they a little different?
No, you know, it's just like comparing any animal to a human. There's a distinct difference. Human beings are human, no matter how you look at it. And this guy is just big, tall, and hairy.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen, they have claws, because he's tried to look in my windows. This was before. He don't do it much anymore, but he used to try to look in my windows. And I could see where his claws were in the ground by the windows, where he had been down on his knees trying to look through the cracks. And
okay.
I saw claw prints. And I've seen claw prints on my air conditioners. He'll take his hand and go down the back of an air conditioner. I've seen that. Well,
that must sound great.
And he has claws.
I got to tell you, Art, this sounds a lot like the dog man that I spoke to Linda about.
Could be.
And,
I don't know what we're hearing about. But yeah, I don't know what we're hearing about. But, again, I'll say this, caller. I don't know if you agree or not, but if you're going to make something up, if you're going to hoax something like this, you're going to use some photograph grabbed from somewhere. You're not going to talk about it wearing a human shirt at one point. You're just not going to make up these kind of facts. It rings true.
Oh, absolutely. I've been trying to get people to believe me. I tell them I saw something just like that for years. And, you know, it's only now that I get to hear people who hear the same kind of description of weird things that they see, you know. And I understand, you know, that you might come across people who are skeptical until they see it themselves. But I believe everything she says. I think it's fascinating.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much for the call. There is one that believes you. Let's go to Max on Skype. Hello, Max.
Hey, good evening, Art. How you doing?
Fine.
Welcome back on the air. It's great to hear you.
Great to be here.
Elaine, I actually have a background of about 20-plus years researching these animals and have had the privilege, I would say, of interacting with them in the wild here in the Pacific Northwest. I used to work a lot with the BFRO, so a lot of the stuff you're saying sounds pretty familiar, and I will say this is not the first case I've ever heard of where Bigfoots are wearing clothes of different sorts.
Really?
I've heard of a case on the Pacific Northwest coast of a Sasquatch or Bigfoot there in the coastal region wearing what looked kind of like a rain slicker over his shoulders, not necessarily putting it on over the head and arms as a human would, but certainly propping it over their back. I've heard of that before. So certainly not the first there.
Yeah. Well, it kind of surprised me because my little boy said, "Wow, what was that?" You know, and you could see the hair down below the shirt, and he was tall. I mean, and then the blue shirt. I thought, "Wow, I just remember the blue flannel shirt. He must have took it off of somebody's clothesline."
Sure, yeah. Yeah, you find that stuff in the ditches and out in the brush all the time. I did have a couple questions for you, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You talked a lot about a lot of scat that you found, and you can tell by the health of the animal by the scat that you're finding. What would you kind of use to describe, you know, those piles that you're finding? What does it look like? I mean, deer pellets, bears, you know, what composition would you call it?
Well, they're different, you know, according to the seasons. Like right now we're getting ready for harvest season, and there are a lot of persimmons down here, and of course what part of the country you're in too. But I've got pictures of all kinds of scats. Matter of fact, I found some scats in the garage in baggies that I threw in the fire the other day, but I just take pictures of them still. But they're usually full of whatever's in season. I have a couple acres of berries. They're kind of like Logan berries, I guess. And there'll be a pile of scat that's just nothing but berry seeds, just solid berries.
That's interesting. I kind of a funny subject here, but it's one of those things that researchers in the field, you know, we run across, and there's usually a pretty consistent theme of, you know, we describe it as soft serve, kind of like soft serve ice cream, for a lack of a better descriptor there. But it's interesting to hear what you said there. Now, you mentioned you'd sold some of this stuff. I'm curious.
We just suddenly lost her on the line. I have no idea. Yeah, we lost her. I have no idea what happened. Nothing.
It was probably that lady from last night putting a hex on you again.
Nothing bad, I hope.
Well, I'll wrap up my question. My question was, how does she market this Bigfoot scat? If I wanted to buy a baggie of it, how could I do so, and what would it cost me?
Do you really want to?
I'm interested. I am. I don't want to say that, you know, those previous stories that I mentioned lend any credence. I think there's a huge gap there for misidentification. You know, whenever you hear about, you know, this wild animal wearing clothing, I see a lot of space for, you know, the feral human thing that you had mentioned earlier. And I'm interested here because, you know, she doesn't have a lot of reason to make these stories up, but if she's profiting off of them in some way, I'm curious as to what the going rate is and how she's marketing this.
I see. I haven't seen any indication that she's tried to profit in any way. Certainly hasn't written a book. She hasn't been on any other radio shows. She did, I guess, contact this one TV crew, which came out, and then she kind of told them, look, you're never going to see this creature because you're setting up all kinds of lights. You know what TV crews do. And I completely understand that. And she's never had anybody back since, nor wanted them back. So...
Sure. Well, it's a great story for sure. You know, these things are happening all over the world. I'm up here in the Pacific Northwest. Most of, sadly, the habitat up here has burnt up in the last couple of weeks. But keep your ear to the ground, Art. I'll let you get back to your show. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, and take care. Let's go to the phones. We'll try to reestablish at the top of the hour here. And if not, then we'll just keep going. Hello there. You're on the air.
Hey, Art. It's Tom from Florida.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing? But hopefully your daughter gets better, feels
Thank
better.
You. Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to ask her if there's been any, because in this type of situation, there's always, you'll hear a lot about reports of UFO sightings, if there's any ongoing UFO sightings.
Oh, that is a good question. Yeah, it is a good question.
Yeah, and I also wanted to see if she could elaborate more on the triangle or whatever that she saw on the ground.
Hopefully she's got a photograph or a picture of that.
Yeah, that just sounded very peculiar, and I haven't, you know, I didn't hear much about it, but I'd like to hear her elaborate what exactly it was. Or did she say it was a burn mark? Or
I didn't hear. Well, I don't know that I heard burn. We'll ask her when we get her back, if we can. I really hope nothing bad has happened.
Yeah, me too.
I wonder if a creature like this would have enough intelligence for example, to know that she's talking about it publicly. That might not
it's
be
very
good.
Odd. I mean, we don't know anything about these beings or creatures, whatever you want to call them. I mean, they could definitely sense things for all we know.
All right. Well, let me ask you this: you've been listening to her now, what, for an hour and a half, something right. like that, a couple hours. You know, is it something you're buying into, or do you think she's got some reason to be hoaxing this, or what do you feel?
I absolutely believe her. I think she sounds extremely convincing. She definitely believes what she's talking about. You know, whatever it is she's experiencing, I don't know if she knows for sure, you know, the definite, if it's a Bigfoot or not. I mean, it sounds like it could be, but I definitely believe that she believes that this is happening. And to be honest with you, out of all the Bigfoot things I've heard on these shows, she sounds more convincing than some of the professionals that come on.
I've got to agree with you. I really have got to agree with you. I've heard a lot of pros on. This lady is so down to earth. You know, I've looked for holes in the story. And if you want to consider the shirt that the thing was wearing a hole, I guess that would be one.
I think that's actually so far in left field that
yeah,
I mean, that could be believable. I mean, these beings or creatures, whatever they are, could very well be making their own clothing or things that they put on to protect themselves from the elements.
Honestly, it hits me that way, too. I mean, if these things are intelligent to some degree, then they observe human behavior. And if they do, then they know that humans wear these things on top of their skin or whatever. And so if they found one of these things hanging on a line outside, which it would be common in that area to do, it might grab it and try and wear it. Wouldn't that be an intelligent thing to do?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think they're more intelligent in certain aspects than we are, because they're not destroying the environment. They seem like they're friendly when they need to be, or maybe they're defensive when they need to be as well. They sound like defensive creatures, and they do smell, or they do sound very intelligent.
She also is defensive of it. In other words, she's worried about it. She doesn't want it hurt. All right. Listen, thanks, buddy. I appreciate the call and your assessment.
Thank you, bud.
Take care.
Yep.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we can reestablish communication with Elaine. Something happened and went just like that. We'll be right back.
Midnight in the Desert spans the world. To call us from outside the U.S. and Canada only, use Skype with a headset mic if on a computer, and call MITD55. That's MITD55.
And, of course, North America, MITD51. My guest is Elaine, and I think I've got her back. Her son is Sierra. They have been living in a house with Bigfoot, actually two of them, Bigfoot Senior and Junior, in their area now for years, and you can choose to believe this story or not believe it. Elaine, do we have you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
What happened?
I don't know. It's just like it went dead. Somebody pushed a button and I was gone.
Wow. That's weird. I tried to call back a couple of times unsuccessfully. Are you using a plug-in landline type phone?
Yes.
Okay. Man, that's weird. I wonder.
I know, and my dog, my bloodhound's out there howling, so the creature's out there passing through or standing around or doing something.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I hope your phone line lasts, because depending on how smart it is, I suppose if it knew it, you were talking about it,
he'd probably unplug it.
Or just pull it out of the side of the house.
Yeah.
Okay, let's try and go back to calls here. You're on the air with Lane. Hi.
Hello, this is Mike. I'm in the Pocono Mountains.
Yes, sir.
And, I probably would have been a skeptic until about 2 months ago when I saw a creature which is exactly like the creature that's pictured in the, you know, the second photo that you have on the website right now. I was driving through a remote area up here and looking for a trailhead, and as I came over a ridge in a logging area, a creature ran from one of the logging trucks in front of me on all fours, and it was chestnut colored, just like the creature in the photograph. Had long hair in its arms, and it was very fast. I couldn't get my camera out or do anything. It ran across the road in front of me, and last thing I expected to see. I'm an avid outdoorsman. I've been in the, you know, backpacking for years, and it was fast and extremely powerful. And the one thing that was interesting about it, though, was the rear half of the creature seemed to have short hair, more like a horse. And it scattered into the woods. And I thought maybe it was a bear that was kind of mangy or something like that. So as I turned around to go out and see some of the loggers and ask them, you know, if they knew anything about this creature. And at that moment, a huge black bear ran across the road coming out of the woods from the other direction. And it had a completely different gait, just a different body type. It was actually taller at the shoulder than this creature, but I'm a believer. It's completely changed my life seeing this creature. And Elaine, mm-hmm. you know, once you see something like that, it changes everything. That's all I can say about it.
Okay, so you believe the story.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I would have been a skeptic until, you know, I always enjoyed Bigfoot stories as a kid, but I never really held much credence to them. And after seeing a creature like that for real in the wild, there's no doubt there's something out there. I don't know what it was. It looked like a primate, and I described it to, you know, my friends as more of an ape, and it ran on all fours, but, you know, it was definitely colored the same way and had the same long hair as in the picture, just, you know, the short hair on its rear end.
Okay, thank you. I understand my producer has sent over to the website and now has posted not footprint pictures, but pictures of scat and living area, which is now on her guest page. So if you want to take a look at that, feel free, please. Let's try Brad on Skype. Hi, Brad.
Hello, Art. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
And Elaine, how are you doing tonight?
Hi, I'm doing good.
Elaine, I'm curious, have you ever contacted any of the, I know that there are some organizations there in Texas that investigate Bigfoot and similar mm-hmm. creatures. Have you considered reaching out to them?
I have, and I was insulted. You know, these people are supposed to be out there, you know, researching and going out and looking for them. But I was totally insulted. And
in what way?
I don't know. I've got the emails. I ended up sending a copy of the email to the president of the research thing. But it was several years ago, and it just, you know, it just got to me. I don't deserve to be insulted. Just, you know, it was just stupid. I don't know what I told them, but I probably told them a story about me and the Bigfoot here and some of the stuff that goes on, and they were questioning me. And then I had a group up north that I think it's a national one, and I don't know what they said, well, we can help you, and I don't know, it just, I don't need their help, I don't need them to come here and research. This is my story, my life, I have to live with it, and that's about the bottom line, you know?
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Right, thank you, and take care. So you haven't had much luck in the few times you have reached out, you have not felt satisfied with the response.
Well, I was either insulted or people come and try to find me without even asking if they can come to my home. And I finally realized, well, these people can't do anything for me. You know, they can't I don't know why they even say they're researchers. Most of them maybe never even seen a Bigfoot.
Well, they all have their own motives. As I said, you know, a picture is worth a gazillion dollars. And you've seen the original Patterson film, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
And how would you say that compares to what you saw, Elaine?
Well, their gait and the way they hold themselves is similar, but mine was white and had long hair.
Got it.
And I don't know. They're definitely not human, but they're smart. They do crawl around because I've seen in the grass where their hair makes a swirl in the grass, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Yes.
And they're so big that if they sit very long in one area, they'll kill the grass.
Wow. Okay. Let's go to Clackamas, Oregon. Hi. Clackamas, Oregon. I think it is. Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah, didn't know that. I'm borrowing this phone, but I wanted to say something from my own experience that may apply here. If these creatures are anything smarter than a dog, they're probably extremely telepathic. I've documented so many things, and it really does get under people's skin. And so they may very well know when there's a recorder around, because I started documenting through audio recordings. I ended up calling them audio psychic signals. It seems like animals do know when they're going to be recorded. Dogs, cats. I just want to say that. I've seen it firsthand.
Yeah, they do, you know, because my neighbor had some guineas, and they were down here in my yard making all kinds of noise, and we turned on the camera. They shut up and walked away.
Well, if I'm still on here, I'd like to say one more thing about it is I've seen what people, you know, what they do. When you tell them that you're documenting very specific information through audio recordings with animals, and they roll their eyes, and sometimes they can't hear it as well as me, but when they do hear it, that's when they really go away. That's all I want to say.
All right, well, listen, you've heard her whole story. I take it you believe her.
I just know that when it comes to what's all around us, like the telepathy and things that scare people, it really
right.
does get complicated. I can understand her defensiveness for sure.
Okay. Thank you so much for the call.
You're welcome.
And take care. Good night. Abby, you're on the air with Elaine.
Hi, Elaine. This is Abby.
Hi.
I'm listening to you, and at the beginning, it sounded like you were scared, you know, and all I kept thinking is, why wouldn't you move? Because how do you know he's not going to knock your door down?
You don't.
But as you're talking about it, you're not afraid of him.
I'm afraid of him if he gets mad at me and wants to rip my house down. But that's why I offer him food, and I don't shoot guns around him, and I don't put cameras out there that will flash in his face and make him mad. I have to live here because I'm not financially able to move at this point in time. But I'm afraid of him because I know he's a powerful creature.
So have you ever considered putting up some type of camera that's not like, you know, didn't take a picture, but just putting up some type of surveillance camera so that
yeah.
if he came around,
he
it would
still
change?
He can sense that.
Apparently so.
He can sense it. And I've been here for 9 years, and I've had cameras in the barn, on top of the barn, on the house, on the gate. I've had wireless. I've had electrical wire run into one, and nothing works.
Yeah, I've so actually a whole bunch
audio
of...
audio recording, though? He doesn't sense the audio, just the video?
Actually, caller, a whole bunch of the other callers have verified that these things know how to evade cameras.
I know. How would they know if it was audio or video?
Well, I guess they don't know about audio. I played a recording a little while ago. Do you hear that?
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm wondering. I mean, if you can get audio, why wouldn't you be able to get video? Do they know the difference?
Well, probably if I had a high, powerful camera that would pick up thermal or something like that, I might get a picture of him and live to show it. I don't know. He doesn't like cameras. I know that.
All right. Somewhere in Oklahoma, you're on the air with Elaine.
Is this me?
It is you.
Awesome. I was just going to say that she's in East Texas. My mother has some property down off of Toledo Bend in Eastern Texas, and she had her and her boyfriend had a pretty amazing experience when they were loading a boat, and it was about a 15-minute experience with a large male and a large female. And I don't know where that is from you, but that's, you know, East Texas.
Yeah, it's not far.
Right, and then you know, I had a neighbor. I'm in Oklahoma. And I'm in southeastern Oklahoma. We have a friend of ours before she passed away. She was in her 70s, and she lived in the Ouachita Mountains. And she said that she used to see him all the time. And I about fell out of the chair when you said a ham sandwich, because this lady told us all the time she'd leave him about half a dozen ham sandwiches on a plate, and she'd get up the next morning, and there would be a plate on her porch with a rock on it or a shard of glass or some kind of gift, and she just put it in her flower garden, and pretty soon she had a whole flower garden full of,
wow,
of things. Also, it was kind of funny when you brought the persimmons, because on my mom's property, when they go down there, they'll go to bed, wake up the next morning, and there's persimmons all over the house. They'll hear them hitting their cabin all night long.
Mm-hmm.
So I was shocked when I start hearing all this. This sounds like my mom all over.
All right. Caller, thank you.
Thanks.
So more people than not appear to be believing you, Elaine, and I do too. Not for really strange reasons, I believe you. You're obviously a real person with a real life, really encountering this creature. And again, I'm going to say this again because that's what I think. If you're going to make this up, you could have done a far better job of making it up than what you've told us. You could have come across with a picture. There's a million of them out there. And you could have come across with all kinds of stuff. So I tend to buy what you're saying. I really do. I'm going to play this audio one more time. I promised I would do that, and so I'm going to do it. Here it comes.
Oh, Sierra, something's out here.
I know. Oh, God. Get the camera.
I got it.
Good job.
There's something. Turn off the light.
There's something out here. Oh, God. Listen. That's a Bigfoot out in my front yard. Oh my God. Oh my God, it's scary. I gotta
leave. Okay, I'm gonna stop it there because there's some bad language I don't want to get on.
My bloodhound was howling, and
yeah,
then you can hear the Bigfoot screaming at me because I went out there with the camera.
Yeah, it screamed all right.
That's mad. Yeah, he did.
All right, let's go to Denver, Colorado on the phone. Hi.
Hey, Art. This is Matt. I called in last night.
Yes, sir.
I am not the Sunday school teacher, by the way.
I understand.
Completely.
I know his accent.
Associated with that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You actually kind of started a little bit of a Twitter feud on the DM chat hashtag on Twitter because of it, but it has been quite hilarious. So, good work. You've gained some points. I defended last night's guest.
Uh-huh.
When Matthew, the Sunday school teacher, ripped into her, I said that she's actually a really good lawyer as well, and I heard from a reliable source there how good of a lawyer she was.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the call, and have a great night. Let's go to where is this anyway? Sacramento, possibly?
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi, this is Ray in Citrus Heights. First of all, I want to tell you, I have over 35 years experience in both law enforcement and insurance fraud investigation, and your guest sounds totally credible. I believe every word she said.
Okay. I guess she would say thank you.
Okay. One question I have is she keeps referring to the creature as he. I would like to know, does she know for sure it's a male creature?
I asked the same question. Elaine?
Well, I believe it's a male because of the sound of his voice and the strength in his voice. And I've heard a female holler, and they have a more high-pitched scream. I mean, not scream, but holler to their voice. One night there was one that started at sunset. And directly north, they started hollering. It wasn't like this scream that you just heard, but it was more of a, ow, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then about, 3 miles to the right, maybe a 30, 40-degree angle, another one answered it back. And then another one, which it screamed, and then about 3 more miles away, another one answered. So it was almost a complete circle of Bigfoots answering each other at sunset.
Okay, I have one more question for you, Elaine. At mm-hmm. any time when you've had a close encounter with this creature, have you felt that in any way, shape, or form it has tried to communicate with you either verbally or telepathically?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And when we first met or when we first had that face-to-face encounter, he tried to talk to me the night after that.
In what way? He mentioned telepathy. You're talking about vocal sounds?
Sounds.
How loud then? Okay.
It was kind of a chirping bird-type sound, and it had a lot of feeling in it. I could feel what he was feeling, so it may have been both telepathy and a voice-type. And then again, at the side of the house one night, about maybe a month or so later, he was next to the house, and I could hear him trying to get my attention, but I just didn't have the courage to go out there and try to talk to him.
Well, sounds do carry feeling with them, right?
They do, and he had feeling. He don't have much anymore. He doesn't get close to the house, and it's a different scene here, but he used to really wreak havoc around.
And so what do you think the change is in his behavior?
I think since he has this new child that's come on and is growing, that he's changed. And I've changed, I've changed. I don't go out at night. I don't try to communicate with him. I go out and give him food, and that's that. If he does something that makes me mad, because he takes my cats, I've probably lost 20 cats.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And so every afternoon we have to round up our favorite cats, and the rest of them, well, they may be here when the sun comes up, and they may not. But he does, they do take my cats.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I wouldn't like that. My guest is Elaine, no further ID than that, and Sierra, her son, they're in East Texas.
Midnight in the Desert doesn't screen calls. We trust you. But remember, the NSA, well, to call the show, please dial 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
Love that one. All right, Elaine, here's a question for you. This occurred when we lost connection. It's a very common question. Sometimes UFOs are seen by people who also have Bigfoot encounters. Now, you've had years of Bigfoot encounters. Have you ever seen a UFO?
Yes, I have.
You have?
Oh, yeah. About 2 months ago, I ended up upside down in my bed. But one night when we were living down the road where I saw the brown one that had the shirt on.
Yes.
They came all night. They came and left, and they came and left, and they made this funny sound. It went, vroom, vroom, vroom.
Vroom?
And there was Yeah, it was like vroom. It was like I remember that sound. It was a roaring sound. And they looked like from a different time. They looked old and ragged UFOs. They didn't look like...
Old and ragged UFOs. That's a new one.
Yeah, they did.
Vroom was a sound I made when I was about 8 years old and was practicing driving. Vroom, vroom.
Well, that's the sound they made. And they hovered right over me and Sierra. And they come across the field, and you could hear them coming. There were three of them. And they hovered right over the corral, and they were so close, you could throw a rock and hit them. They weren't no more than 15 feet off the ground.
Really?
Really. And there was something inside, because they come over to the edge of, it looked like a cockpit with their lights inside, and they looked down at us, and we looked up at them. And then they kind of just float. They, you know, they went away, and they'd come back about every 45 minutes. And finally, about midnight, they must have been sending me a message, because I told Sierra, I said, we got to call our neighbor and let them see them. They're coming back. So I called my neighbor. They went outside, and they seen them above our house, and we stood out in the middle of the road, and another one came from the north, and they all left and went east, and I never saw them again.
So your neighbors are witnesses?
Yeah. The old man was so scared, though, he wouldn't come outside.
I get it. Yep, I get it. All right, Skype, Aaron, you're on with Elaine.
Hello, good morning, Elaine, Art.
Hi.
My name is Aaron, and actually run one of the stations that you mentioned tonight.
Oh,
and,
which one?
KQRP over here in Malakoff, Texas.
Well, I'll be doggone. We'll say, yeah, fellow Texan there.
But something that I wanted to bring up, you know, there was some mention about these Bigfoot or whatever they are, possibly knowing when there is an electronic device around. Well, if you remember right, back when we had CRT televisions, you could hear the 15 kilohertz horizontal output mm-hmm. tube in it. You know, there's oscillators, and there's different kinds of integrated circuits inside devices that put off a you know, they oscillate. They put off a signal.
That's right.
And could it be that it's above the 20K limit that humans hear, and they're able to pick it up just as dogs can pick up frequencies higher than we can?
Of course that could be true, sure.
And another thing that I want to, you know, I wish I hadn't have gave my name now, but anyway, I won't mention the name of the other person that was involved in this, but back during the 90s when I was in high school, me and a friend of mine, we used to go out coon hunting in the Trinity River Bottom, and we would hear that exact sound that was on her recording. We would hear that uh-huh. sound behind us as we followed our tracking dogs. This went on all one season. When
you
we
know,
were hunting.
Behind us, any direction for me, if I heard that sound, I'd be running the other direction.
Whatever. Well, you know, we had our guns, and so we, you know, we weren't too scared. But what was weird was the next
listen, I'm up against a break. I got to run. Can you hold on?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Good. Then hold on. We'll be back.
Hear the drums echoing tonight. She hears only whispers of some quiet conversation.
Again, Elaine is my guest. Her son Sierra is here as well, if needed. And he's talked to us. She's been living with a Bigfoot near her for years and knows how it behaves. And she's been talking to us about it. I guess it's one of those things you either believe or you don't. I've had Bigfoot researchers on the air, and they've been torn apart. And I think Elaine, frankly, has had a more responsive audience than most of the researchers that I've had on. Elaine, still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, let's see if Aaron is. Hi.
Hello.
Okay, you're back on, Aaron.
Well, what I was going to say is the second time that we went out, the second year that we went out hunting, the sound was not there. So it leads me to believe that they moved on for some reason. Maybe they're migratory. I don't know, but you know, the Trinity River Bottom is such a big place that, you know, it's a big valley around the river. You know, Trinity River runs basically from north of Dallas and ends in the Houston Ship Channel. But you're always hearing we're always hearing of Bigfoot sightings in the Trinity River bottom. So I believe they may migrate up and down that valley.
Well, it sure is true.
Some of them do. Yeah, I think some of them migrate and some of them hang out. If they got a good spot, they stay there.
Oh yeah, why move if there's
food,
sustenance in the area, food? Why move?
Yeah, that's right. All right,
why move? Well, one thing I wanted to say before you drop me here, it's nice having you back on the air, Art. I got a chance to talk to you right after I upgraded from a technician to a general.
No, you're in.
It's nice to have you back on the air, and hope to catch you over on 80 or 40 meters sometime.
All right, my friend. Thanks, Aaron.
You have a good one.
Take care. How about that? All right, let's go to, don't advertise your corner on a cell phone. It says Cell Phone BC. Cell Phone BC, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going.
I'm just fascinated. I'm just hanging on every word that she's saying here.
Uh-huh. Any questions?
Yeah, it's going to come. It might come off as a bit odd, but anything sexual?
No, it's not an odd question at all, actually. It's a good question. Elaine?
Yeah, it was in the beginning. I knew that he liked to look at my windows, and he got mad when I put up curtains. And he sang songs to me when I go outside and run back in. You know, it's not anymore, but I think it was.
Elaine, what kind of songs did he sing to you?
It was like a bird. It was like, you know, but a whistle thing.
Like
and sometimes there'd be. Well, I don't know if it what you can call it. It was just a little bird whistle, and it started high and went low. Usually humans, they go low and go high, like, but this went down. I can't do it. But anyway, it had feeling in it,
That was me. So there you go, caller. That, you know, right on the money, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
All right, you're thank you for making it. You were a little breaking up there, but okay. Let's stick with the phone for a moment and go to Pennsylvania. Hello there, you're on the air with Elaine. Hello, Pennsylvania.
Dooby dooby doo. I'm Bigfoot looking at you. Look, Elaine sounds like a very nice woman, but she's either a pathological liar or a complete kook. I mean, she said earlier in the interview, right, that the Bigfoot sits there so long in one particular area that it actually kills the grass, but she can't get a photograph of it. There's just no way. We get photographs of celebrities. We get photographs of obscure, rare creatures of all, you know, sizes and shapes. I just can't buy that she can't get a clear shot of this Bigfoot for years.
I don't go out there in the middle of the night looking for Bigfoot sitting in the grass.
It's only out at night, sir. You may have heard that earlier if you were listening.
What about a night cam? I mean, we have so many cameras with night vision on.
I don't. My camcorder was bought in 05, and that's about the best I've got. You know, I don't have fancy cameras.
Listen, I would think if this Bigfoot is a creature that you've been encountering for years, at some point along the way, you would, you know, you could buy something like that for $30.
You could.
You can't buy something
good.
Like that for $30.
No, I agree with you. You can't. That was just sort of rude, actually. Again, this Bigfoot is only out at night. That was at the very beginning of the interview. I'm not sure whether you heard that or not. And Elaine is not exactly the Donald Trump of East Texas. In other words, she can't afford to move from where she is. I imagine, Elaine, you mostly live paycheck to paycheck or whatever it is you get for income. Doesn't sound like a lot, right?
Right. We're on Social Security.
Well, right. That's kind of what I thought. All right. Let's go to somebody named Cortana. Is that correct?
Hi. This is Cortana. I'm from the Dark Matter Twitter group via DM Talkers. So I want to present a theory on also Megan Roswell's. I want to present a theory in that I think Bigfoot is more responsive to her because she's a woman. Whereas if there's a bunch of men in the forest, Bigfoot's going to get territorial because men are territorial. So I just wanted to present that theory to everyone. And I think the best way to be able to contact Bigfoot is to just be female. Now, when it comes to her son, I think Bigfoot senses that family bond, so he would leave them alone. Whereas that other guy, that in that story where he got beat up because he was just some stranger or whatever. So that's my theory. And
well,
shout out to DM Talk.
Okay, thank you very much.
And Elaine, you sound so sweet.
Right. Oh, thank you very much. I'm just telling my story. I'm not trying to convince of anything or prove anything. It's just my life here.
Right, right.
Thank you for your call.
Right, thank you very much. And let's go to, I think, Gardnerville. Is that right?
Yes. Hi, Elaine.
Hi.
I believe you totally, and it's because my nephew lives on an Indian reservation. And he has sweat lodges, and they do sun dance out there. So there's quite a few people. And out there, so many times at night, they encountered Bigfoot. Now, when they kept telling me that, I was like, okay, yeah, well. I mean, it is hard to believe. But anyway, so then one night we had a circle, and there was like six of us sitting in a circle. And we all had our eyes closed. We were in prayer. And all of a sudden, there was like five or six, and they were way behind us. But they all when you hear that sound, when that's, it's like it echoes the mountains when they're.
It does. It's like it really does.
Yeah, it's like it's a scream. All of a sudden, I mean, we all opened our eyes. We're staring. I mean, we couldn't move. And I had a drum next to me, and I go, and I was thinking, well, the only thing I could do is drum, you know, because we're so scared we didn't know what to do. And I start drumming, and they did start becoming quieter when I started drumming. But I'm telling you, there had to been like four out there. And when you hear that sound, it's but anyway, my nephew had told me so many times they encountered him out there. They saw them run, everything. But, you know, I understand why people have a hard time because you really, either if you just hear the sound one time, you know. There's no denying right. that sound. And if you see them, for, you know, well, then you know. But in the beginning, Elaine, did he ever follow you or anything?
Well,
when you were
I never felt him following me. I just felt his presence, you know, and like I said, he'd come out at sunset and at night. If I felt his presence, I'd maybe go out on the front porch or something, but I didn't really go out. My bloodhound always tells me when he's close by. You know how you can understand a dog by the way they bark? And my bloodhound will cry. He'll go, oh, when he's close by, you know. And so I can always tell pretty much. And he will not track him. He will not track Bigfoot. He won't.
Oh, he doesn't?
No, and he won't bother the food. If I put the food out there next to the scat, none of the animals will bother the food.
Hmm.
Have you ever seen him eat in front of you?
No, I just seen him stand up and look at me, and then I seen him across the road, and I saw him and the junior with him in the driveway, and they just stood there real still looking at me like, oh, I'm caught. But it was just like,
oh, well, really, I'm so glad you're
there.
Telling your story, Elaine, because I know it's true. I know it's true. You know, my nephew, like I said, for a long, long time, he kept talking about it, and I had a hard time believing it. And he was my nephew, right? But when I was out there and I experienced the whole thing, there's no denying it. And I'm glad you're telling your story. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the call. And take care. Let's go to Skype and Al. Hello, Al.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi. Okay, so I just had a theory. Since this creature is white, I was just thinking, well, the fur is at least, perhaps it's an albino. And maybe if it is an albino, it's perhaps rejected from its flock. And,
you know what, color? Actually, that's a pretty interesting point you just made. Again, if you were going to make this story up, it would be brown fur, you know, as you get usually with descriptions of Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. I don't know where he came from, if he's albino or if he came here. I know there's been another sighting in a town nearby that a lady saw a white one, but I couldn't really tell when I looked at him. I don't know if their eyes are yellow when the light shines on them, and this is the only one I saw. The brown one I saw, I didn't see his eyes or was that close to him, but I don't know if he was albino or not.
Okay, caller?
Okay, and just it's a thrill to have you back on the air.
Thank you. It is a thrill to be back and to allow just an average person to tell their story, and you can think of it what you will. Belfair, Washington, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I'm sorry. I have not been on the radio before either. I actually was told to call in, or actually listened to your show for the first time by a gentleman named David Ellis. He's part of the Olympic Project, and he thought I would be very interested in this story because I had the same thing happening here at my place.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. I listened to some of her stuff, and I'm getting shaky now because I've never done this before. But
just take a good deep breath. You have the same thing happening where you are?
That's correct.
Okay, what is happening exactly?
We have, well, I believe it's a group here. I do believe that they travel in and out of this area. I do believe they're here quite often. I've been at this house. This house was vacant for 4.5 years. I've been at this house now for a couple of years.
Right.
It took about the first month and a half. I realized something was going on. You know, our dogs, we had dogs. They were acting funny. They wouldn't go outside.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of stuff was going on. A couple of months after that, I actually saw one. And before that,
describe what you saw.
We were actually coming up. My husband was with me. We were coming up. We live a mile up a dirt road, up a hill. We're on the top. We're about almost the end of the house. End of the houses. There's only 7 houses up here. And then beyond that, there's nothing but woods. But we were coming up, and he was navigating the road because there's a bunch of switchbacks. And I was looking off the side, and it was about, I could have touched the car. It was so close to me that, to the vehicle, that I couldn't see him fully when we were right next to him. It's just, they're huge. The chest is huge. There's tons of muscle definition on in the chest area down into the stomach area. Big bubble butt, the legs. They're built like a bodybuilder, at least the one I saw. Tilted. He wasn't standing straight up. Tilted. I got different views because we were going up the hill and around a corner, and he was staying stationary. He didn't move. So I got different views of him as well.
You know, I'm beginning to think that human or non-human, whatever these things are, they're like humans in that some of them are built differently. I mean, there's great big fat ones, and there's skinny ones, and there's all kinds, apparently.
I agree with you. I think there's so many different descriptions of them, but they still have a lot of similarities.
Mm-hmm.
Since that's happened, of course, I've done some research and stuff like that. But there is some similarities there. You know, she has similarities in what she's seen. I have similarities, too. But they're still the same type of animal. But we're built differently. If somebody saw me or somebody saw you, we would look differently.
Sure. Well, you've heard her story. I take it you believe what she says.
Oh, wholeheartedly. And you know, when she said that, she heard them quack.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard that before. I have recordings of them quacking, making a quacking sound. I record almost every single night. And you were talking about your recordings and stuff. And, you know, if you're ever interested, I can tell you how to get through those recordings in a record time. Because every night, in fact, I'm recording right now. we record every night here and get some amazing sounds and some their chatter and the talk and just, you know, different knocks. I mean, you didn't mention any knocking. Do they knock for you?
Yeah, I do the tree knocking. They used to answer back, but I don't do that anymore. But I used to knock on wood with them.
And you talk about whistles and stuff. Do they mimic things? That's what I think of the quacks and so forth. So, do you hear them mimicking other things?
Yeah.
You do?
All kinds of, they do the coyote thing down here a lot.
Well, it's interesting because when I record and stuff, I use David Ellis taught me how to do all this. In fact, I send everything through him too. But there's visualize. We can visualize, do it visually, where you not only are hearing it, but it's to visualize. I forget what it's called. I'm a little nervous, but you put it through, and you can actually tell if it's really a coyote or if it's something else. That's
all right. Listen, I'm so sorry to do this, but the show is ending.
No, that's
so
okay.
I've got to go. But thank you very much for the call, and Elaine. What a night. I really have enjoyed having you on the air. You sound like just a regular person to me. People can make of this what they will, but based on the calls, I would say more than not, believe what you say. And I think you told it in a very straightforward way. I don't know any other way to put it. Thank you.
Well, I thank you, and it was fun, Art. I appreciate it a whole bunch.
Right. Take care. Have a good night, Elaine.
Good night.
Good night. There you go. Believe it or not, I guess. But she sure told a good story. From the high desert and the great American Southwest. See you tomorrow night.